Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, it's Tulane Tuesday in our Tulane Tuesday segment with Tulane football head coach John Sumrall is brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next day delivery throughout South Louisiana. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
I appreciate y'all having me on. Hope all is well.
Coach, I got a caller call in about demeanor of coaches, and but Kellen Moore doesn't show a lot of emotion on the sidelines. I've been around kind of both sides. I've been around guys that, man, they wear those emotions on the sleeve, but that's who their personality is. And yet you have others, you know, it's not quite there. They have the fire burning, but they can control their emotions. I know one thing. You wasn't a happy camper at the end of that East Carolina game, and it showed through as I was watching on television. But you've been through coaches like that. Just because your emotions are not maybe, say, heavy on your players and stuff like that, that doesn't mean you don't have a lot of fire in the belly to coach.
No, everybody's got a different personality, you know, and I think the important thing is you have to be authentic and genuine to who you are. I have a great relationship and friendship with Kellen, and I have a ton of respect for him as a coach and what he's about. He's really detailed and thorough, and his passion just maybe presents different than maybe mine does, but he's passionate, you know, and I love our guys. I want to see them be the best they can be. When I'm you know, displeased, people usually can sense it. And my displeasure with things is just because I want our guys to maximize their opportunities and become the best they can be. And so I have no problem. You know, my wife would tell you my greatest strength is my greatest weakness. I'm brutally honest. And if you want the truth, hang around me. If you don't want the truth, get away from me, because I'm going to tell you what I think is the truth. And I'm always going to call it like I see with our guys. I think too many times this world we live in, we coddle players and people make excuses or enable or entitle them. And I'm like, man, a great player wants to get coached. And if you don't want to get coached, then you're probably not a great player.
Yeah, no question about that. Coach, I think you were upset too. Had opportunities to put this game away against East Carolina a few times, and it just wasn't there. And the turnovers and, you know, different things happened. And that's the most frustrating part of a game, that you feel as though you have in hand, and it almost sort of slipped away at the end a little bit.
Yeah, you know, when we were in the middle of the second quarter, we had 200-some yards of offense, and the opponent had about 50. We had four or five red zone trips, and we couldn't score touchdowns. We kicked a field goal on the first one. We faked a field goal on the second one, didn't get it. You know, we kicked three more field goals in the first half. We go into halftime up 12-0. We've outgained them by over 200 yards. And then later in the game, we fumble in the fourth quarter on the goal line at the 1 yard line, 2 yard line on a mesh. And, you know, we talk a lot around here about the wave can't beat the wave. We tried to beat ourselves at times on Thursday night. And, you know, I tell our team all the time, you can't beat anybody until you don't beat yourself. And so most football games are lost, not won, you know, and our guys, I'll give them a credit on this. You know, we got up 12-0, played about as bad as we could in the third quarter, and you look up and it's 16-12. And some teams that aren't mentally tough, the wheels would have come off, and it would have avalanched. Our guys, man, they were train stoppers on Thursday night. The train was going down the tracks. They didn't like the direction it was going. They stood in front of the train and said, no, you got to turn around. And we're going to go this way. And so I appreciate the mental fortitude and the toughness our guys displayed and the grit to respond in maybe not an ideal situation when we had kind of squandered an opportunity to put the game out of reach, let the other team back in it. They got the lead. Momentum was against us. And, man, our guys really showed a lot of resiliency by how they responded.
The fast tempo offense of East Carolina seemingly gave some issues, especially in the second half. And you don't have to worry about that this week with Army because you know what you're going to get from them.
Yeah,
but
different deal, yeah.
Man, you talk about totally different. I was talking to Pete Jenkins about 2:30 this afternoon, and he was like, man, Mike, you just don't see what Army runs often in when you're going up against a team in college football. And you better be prepared for it because it's not something you practice against a lot or you see a lot on film.
Yeah, it's different. I think the hardest thing is just the vision lines for the second and third level players and understanding the picture, the presentation's different because now you see nowadays you see so much shotgun football, right? And so it's different, it's unique. And then the biggest challenge honestly is getting your scout team to be able to present what looks like that type of offense. And that's a real hurdle. It's just making sure that you're presenting a look that's going to be similar to what you're actually going to see on game day. And so that's a challenge for sure. Our guys, our coaching staff's doing a good job. We've played them every year the last 3 years. Obviously, last year in the conference title game, they beat the stew out of us. And then the previous 2 years at Troy, we played them, and we stuck out a win 10-9 one year, and then we played a lot better the other year and won more decisively. But it's a challenge for sure when you don't see it very often.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At least you don't have to go up against that Bryson Daly guy. Whew. Man, he was goodness. A load for him.
Yeah, he was a big-time player, man. He was a freaking great football player. I got a lot of respect for that kid. I'm glad he's gone. These other two guys are playing with their good players in their own right, but that guy was a special player for sure.
My thing is, how the hell he got out of the state of Texas and he ended up at Army? I mean, that's one day I know Bryson will tell that story of exactly how that happened because he was a really good high school quarterback and he somehow, some way, a lot of teams kind of passed on him. Man, he's a game changer. When I looked at what he did for Army over the years, he was playing quarterback for him.
Yeah, he was a special player. I mean, he's tough, gritty, blue collar, played the game with a chip on his shoulder. A lot of respect for how he played in the game. I would have gladly take him as a quarterback or a linebacker.
He was big enough he could have played linebacker, no question about it. I remember Coach O telling me that Sam Darnold, when he was in high school, that he was a linebacker quarterback. I said, what made the difference? He made the decision, and he was like, I saw him throw. Once I saw him throw, I knew one thing. He wasn't playing linebacker no more. He was playing quarterback at the college level. Coach, we've talked about this even before the season when you were able to get him at Tulane, but Retzloff, there's something about being a winner and finding a way to win. And it wasn't all pretty Thursday, but he found a way to win. And I think there is something in some guys, and we talked about it with Bryson and others, that you finding a way to win with your football team, even when you're not playing your best. I thought Retzloff, at the end of that game, he showed that moxie.
Yeah, winners win, man. I use that term a lot. Like, guys that know how to win, they just kind of find that way out of, like, it may be their A game, it may not be their A game, but they figure out how to win the game. And, you know, I really thought Jake did some really good things in the throw game. We were in a lot better rhythm and timing. We threw and caught the football a lot better. I mean, we were 27 of 37 for 362 yards, which was a really good performance by our guys. You know, we had two touchdowns throwing the football, and then the frustrating part was we had a couple touchdowns early in the game called back because of penalties, which that was disappointing. But Jake's a good leader, man, good teammate. That quarterback room's in good hands. Him and Brendan Sullivan are both the type of guys you want lead your team.
Coach, I remember when we were previewing the ECU game, we talked about their passing offense, and Kaiten Hauser had a season low in passing yards at 180 in the game. Just, it felt like they had different times in the game where, I guess you would call it a chunk play, a 20-yard gain here, a 20-yard gain there, and then they had the real big explosive passing play that went for almost 50. But how do you think your secondary really kind of held up overall against what was a very elite passing attack in ECU?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, the one in the third quarter was frustrating because we had alerted them, hey, they're going to take a shot here. Like, I knew a double move was coming, and then we'd get run by the double move. I'm like, guys, we just told you it's coming. So that was frustrating. You know, it helped. Our pass rush was helpful. You know, sometimes your best pass coverage is a good pass rush. But our guys on the perimeter and the secondary did a nice job in coverage. I thought we timed up some things good. Played the ball in the air well, really played clean, I thought, for the most part. Had one DPI that I didn't really get mad about because it was a bang-bang play, and you don't want to overcoach that because guys will start playing with caution. And then the other one was a holding we had on, you know, kind of a physical play that their guy was being physical and ours was too, and we just got called for it. But I thought that was a big-time factor in winning the game. We knew that they had kind of lived off of some explosive plays in the past game, and we limited that for the most part other than the one in the third quarter. And that really, I think, dictated the flow of the game because they were used to, you know, getting chunk pass plays and hitting home runs, if you will.
Coach, last question for you. When you play a team like Army and you know what you're going to get from them, and every once in a while they kind of lull you to sleep because they run it and they run it and they run it, and then all of a sudden that quarterback steps back and he throws a deep one downfield and hits it on you. But up front, your front seven guys, the discipline that they have to use here, because a lot of times you can maybe fall a little bit for the eye candy. And if you get out of the gap, you give them an opportunity to make a play, either the quarterback or the running back, to get up the field, get a first down or a big play on you. And I think that's important when you play teams like this who run that style offense, that you got to be a real disciplined front. Now you play a three-man front, but whatever. That front seven has got to understand you can't sometimes overcommit, because that's when the big mistake's going to happen for you on defense.
Yeah, everybody has to do their job. You know, it's got to be disciplined and do your job. If you're on top of an eligible receiver vertical player, you got to stay on top. If you are the dive player, you got to take the dive. If you're the quarterback player, you got to take the quarterback. If you're the pitch player, you got to make sure you have good leverage on the pitch. And, you know, this type of game, the terms I use a lot with our guys is, hey, be on time to your job and be late to somebody else's. And so what I mean is, if you we practice a decent amount these kind of weeks without a football sometimes with the scout team offense, and it's, hey, everybody do their job and then run to the ball. And so you have to be able to do the ordinary part of just doing your job over and over and over and over and over. And then after your job's done, then show up and help your buddy. But these guys present a lot of problems, and they get a lot of leaky yards because guys maybe get nosy or get the wrong leverage and don't square up on the ball or don't play solid through their gap. And we got to make sure that we're physical where we're supposed to be.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy when you come on. Just watch they don't try to sneak that daily in. He's run out of eligibility.
All right, appreciate y'all. Roll wave.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. That was our Tulane Tuesday segment with Tulane Green Wave head football coach John Sumrall. It's brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next-day delivery throughout South Louisiana.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.